Hi, welcome to AnimeCons TV 2015 Year in Review. Every year we've done the podcast, we've done a year in review that looks back on our last year of convention going, and we talk about the good moments and the bad. I'm Patrick Delahanty. I'm here with Svetlana Chilikova. Hello.
Delahanty.
Hi.
We'll talk about our favorite convention moment of 2015. I went to 11 conventions this year. I don't know how I managed to get to 11. It didn't seem like that many, but two of them were new. I went to Fanime and Otakuthon, which I had never been to before. But my favorite convention moment was taking my niece to her first convention. We went to PortCon, Maine, and I was a bit worried how she'd like it because she doesn't like crowds and she's not into anime. But she loves Harry Potter, so she dressed as Hermione, and she had a great time, and she wants to go back next year. So.
Yay!
Next generation is growing up.
Good.
So, Sketch and I both went to 6 conventions this year. Technically, it was like our first Eurasia because we actually went to it instead of just showing up and drinking.
I have a badge.
Exactly. We have like actual badges. So, it was kind of new for us this year. My favorite moment was, well, I have my actual favorite moment Elizabeth's going to talk about. So my second favorite moment was for Dragon Con this year, we all dressed up as the cast from Clue, which some of us had done before, but it was really fun to do it again. And we actually crashed this pretty, like, swanky bar at the top of the Hyatt, and it, like, rotates around the city of Atlanta. And we had all these very, like, fabulous cocktails as, like, in these beautiful costumes while we kind of watched the city, and we had the most fabulous waiter I've ever seen.
Oh, he was having so much fun with us.
He was having a blast. He was mad he couldn't wear one of the Clue gowns.
They wouldn't let him wear a dress.
They wouldn't let him wear a dress to work, and he was really mad about it. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, again, I'm married, so we attended to the same, and the first one was Eurasia too. I pretty much just, you know, went to check out the others. The different stuff, because it was a different convention that like we normally go to. It's more literary Eurasia. But when we get to my favorite moment, I have to say is I have two other cosplay friends that have the exact same birthday as me, and we call ourselves the triplets. And so we decided, well, we should do a triplet costume. So we did the Warner Brothers and their sister Dot at Dragon Con. And the reason why it's my favorite moment is because we had a positive response from everybody between a guy following us around with a saxophone, playing the theme, and not being able to go 10 feet without hearing Hello Nurse.
Well, you had a Hello Nurse.
Well, we also had a Hello Nurse, so we kind of incited that on our own. But yeah, Yakko Warner.
Svet, you had a favorite moment?
I had a favorite moment and two runners-up. My favorite moment was a friend of mine surprised me at SnafuCon, I guess.
Yeah.
That was the one in Reno. She dressed up. I didn't know she was coming, but she showed up out of nowhere, dressed up as Christy from DramaCon, dressed as her Sailing Moon of Fail. She even had, like, even the bow was detachable. She made it from satin, and everything was very detailed the way that she did it.
Yeah, the bow was held on with Velcro, so it could rip off, just yeah. Like in the comic.
So that was amazing, and I'm hoping we can show a photo of that.
Yeah.
And the two runners up was Elizabeth. Do you remember when I ran into you at the Dragon Con cafeteria space? You were dressed as Gadget.
Yep.
Yes, that was an amazing moment for me. And then another runner-up was we were on, was it the Hyatt, where all the cosplayers mingle?
The Marriott. It was the Marriott.
Possibly. I am spatially challenged. One of the hotels where there were a lot of cosplayers dining upon. And I saw Luke and Leia cosplayers just standing around with beers, drinking with somebody dressed up as an Imperial officer.
There's a chance I might know those people.
Probably. And I thought that was amazing. Like, can I get a picture of you guys? And like, oh, sure, sure. And they're putting their beers down. Like, no, the beers. That was that was the special part. So I have a picture of them.
Doug, you get something?
Yeah, you just kind of reminded me of one of mine, so I'm going to have, like, three small ones. The first one is, for the second year in a row now at Otakon, a bunch of us that, like, we only really see each other at, like, Otakon and one or two other conventions a year, we do a beer tasting thing, and it's not an official event, but it's a good chance to get together, and it's one thing we've always really liked, and it's just kind of a good way to relax, so that was a nice highlight. The other two I'll mention are kind of, I've had a couple people who I've had panels with me before at mainly Anime Boston, like the Mecha panel and stuff, and they've started doing panels on their own, and it's kind of a proud, like, oh, my little nerdlings are growing up sort of moment, and it's been really cool to see, because some of the ideas they came up with have been phenomenal. And the last one is the parade at Dragon Con. I was with the 501st, and I didn't bring a costume down. I didn't bring my biker scout. I just wrangled for them, and I was hanging out with mainly the clone troopers, and I had an absolute blast just wrangling, helping them get pictures and everything like that, and it was really nice to kind of give other people a chance to shine and just be really fun costume support, and that was a really good memory for me because, like I said, I got to let someone else show off for a little while, but still have a lot of fun. And as we've kind of seen with the podcast this year, getting to know more people within the 501st, even outside the New England Garrison, has been a really fun experience for me at cons this year. So that's kind of why it's one of my highlights.
Elizabeth, you got one?
Yeah, I went to 8. None of them are new. They're all the usual ones I go to. My favorite convention moment was the one I stole from Shiva. So I made us Peach and Daisy costumes, and we decided to go across the street from Porcon, which is a mall. And we had a blast in the mall being princesses. And we even went on the carousel that's inside the mall, and it was kind of probably one of my most fun memories in costume, and we have some pretty cool pictures. Then we destroyed the costumes and made post-apocalyptic versions of them, so that was pretty cool, too.
I liked how we were going around and around, and suddenly, like, oh, look, there's Patrick!
I just like that I got on my phone the slow-mo of them waving. The slow-mo.
Nice. I love this. I forgot to say, I did 8 conventions total, and only 2 of them were new, and I thought I was going to be a slacker, but it seems like I kind of hit the average.
How dare you only go to 8?
I know.
I only went to 4.
How many were new?
For me? Yeah. Or 3?
Yeah. Dragon Con was the only one you've been to before, right? Yeah. We'll talk about least favorite convention moment. Elizabeth, you did the last favorite. Sure. Why don't you start us off with the least favorite?
Waiting in the pre-reg line for Katsukon again for hours because they can't figure it out. Please figure it out, because if I pre-reg, I should have to spend more than like 30 minutes in line tops on Thursday. And that's only because there's a lot of people, might be a lot of people in line. I don't know. Other cons the size of Katsukon have figured it out, so you shouldn't have to wait in line for hours for a badge. Also getting sick at Anime Boston, I lost my voice. So Sketch came with me to my craftsmanship judging for Hulk costume in case I needed a voice.
And then your voice came back.
Yeah, my voice came back, and then I lost it again. So I actually had to spend a lot of time resting in the hotel room instead of having fun.
Doug, you got one?
Mine was something silly, but I managed to find some old, like, promotional cups, like the, like, old hologram cups for the Final Fantasy movie, that really awful one they did years back at, like, kind of a garage sale thing through work. And I was like, these are going to be perfect. I'm going to bring these to one of the room parties I go to because I know the crowd there is going to like think this is hysterical that I found them. They even have the little contest pull tabs still on. And I took the bus down to Otakon and left them and all the chargers for my phone and iPad and camera for the podcast in the cups on the bus.
Oh, no.
And they, you know, as soon as I did, I called the company, and they're like, well, we can try, but they never found it. And I was kicking myself the whole weekend. I mean, the chargers were easy to replace, but I was like, oh, I had this great joke set up, and I just wasn't paying attention when I got up and headed out because I took the bus down from Boston to Baltimore, which was like, you know, about 8 hours with a little break in between, and, you know, when I changed over to New York. So I just was so happy to get off the bus that I wasn't paying attention. And, yeah, so lesson learned, if you're traveling, make sure you have all your important stuff with you when you leave. Double check your seat. Lesson learned.
Yeah. Aww. I left my 3DS on the plane last night with over 3,000 street passes.
Oh, no.
I haven't heard back yet. Fingers crossed it shows up, but I am and briefly.
I left my iPad on a plane when I went to Disney in April. Here it is. They found it.
Yay! So how long did it take? I'll talk to you about it later. Never mind.
Less than a week.
Okay.
How about you guys? Do you get least favorite moments?
I think the least one, we didn't have too many bad moments this year. We stayed healthy for the most part, which is good.
No H1N1.
Yeah. The worst one that I can recall is that at Dragon Con, we're going to go get Karen Gillian's autograph, Pond from Doctor Who. And Sketch actually had a really cool thing he wanted autograph, which is the SAG shirt that Rory wears. For his bachelor party, Sketch actually had a similar shirt made up for his real life bachelor party, and we thought it would be really funny to get like Karen Gillian to sign it, and we could like frame it and whatever. So we went to go get in line for her autograph session, and not only was the line huge, and she wasn't at her booth, and it was a scheduled time, but we were getting all these conflicting stories about her handlers had come like the day before when she wasn't even at the con yet, and had sold tickets. But the tickets didn't guarantee you to get the autograph, even though you paid to get the ticket. And so we hadn't done that, but we were all these disgruntled people in line, and they were angry, and there was like fighting, and the con staff were trying to calm people down because, unfortunately, Dragon Con had nothing to do with it. It was all the handlers, and they were kind of mad at her staff, too. And we ended up, it got so hostile and uncomfortable, we ended up just leaving because it was like 45 minutes into an hour-long like time slot she was supposed to have, and she hadn't even showed up yet. So we're like, you know what, we have better things to do. And maybe we'll find a different time to do it. But I don't know what happened to those people, and I feel really bad for them. And I think it probably wrecked some people's weekends. So that just seemed completely poorly handled from start to finish. And I was like, I'm glad we weren't deeper involved in that because it just sounds like it went bad for a lot of people.
Something like that happened to me at Anime Expo last year where I was trying to get an autograph and I had a ticket in hand and still didn't get it. And it's like, then what's the point of having the ticket? And it's so frustrating.
Well, the worst thing is the people that got the tickets had paid and they still weren't guaranteed. So they already had spent the money and they were furious. It wasn't even just like, oh, I wasted my time. It was like, no, you owe me like my $70 or however much. I don't even know how much it was.
I don't think you paid for the full. You paid to get the slot. But, I guess the only other thing that went bad this year is, in general, we start making conventions a little bit more into vacations, too, because you go to all these cities and you end up only staying in a hotel, so we always try to venture out. So at Dragon Con, we decided to go to the Cope Museum.
That was kind of awesome.
It was kind of fun. if you search the Cope polar bear mascot, the thing is freaking adorable. But here's the bad part. Do not try Beverly Soda.
No, terrible. Oh, God. No.
Did you get tricked?
No.
Well, his hometown is called Beverly, so we tried to make him drink it.
Apparently, Italians have no taste.
Hey!
they sell it in Italy, all right?
I tried that, and I looked it up later and found out they don't even make it anymore, except for the Coke exhibits.
Because it tastes
it's not actually sold anywhere else in the world.
It's not even sold. They give it away for free.
Can't give it away for free.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. Svet, you and I have the same worst moment.
Yeah.
I have two runner-ups. One was when I was told I couldn't show the logo of the SFO Hyatt for my AOD report, so I ended up just covering it up with a troll face. It's like, stupid hotel staff tell me I can't show their logo. Fine. Whatever. And then I was yelled at by San Japan staff when I was just getting footage of the autograph line, because Steve Bloom cannot be photographed unless you pay. And I was like, I'm just getting footage.
I just wanted a picture. Inside joke, sorry.
But yeah, the worst moment was going to the Night Attack panel at Dragon Con. We had gone to dinner, so we were running a bit behind. We got to the room as the...
We were running late by like a minute.
Yeah, the show had just starting, and we see everybody seated, but we don't see anybody standing outside. There's nobody standing against the wall, so we're like, oh, this is good. And we go to get in, and we're pushed out by the staffer.
Yeah, she was closing the door in our face while there were seats being saved for us by our friends inside, and we kept trying to tell her, and like he was one of the volunteers for the previous event with the same people, so he had like special standing in the room, and she just would not listen, and she pushed that, like physically pushed us back very loudly, talking over us, not having any of our explanations.
No, doesn't want to hear anything we have to say. It's like, nope, whatever you have to say, not good enough, you're out.
And yeah, because I was like saving the seats for you guys, and like I was like trying to signal to her, and she wasn't even...
And Ashley was there and had saved seats.
I got so upset I left. I'm like, I'm done.
So Russell and I, a couple seats, but oh. Oh, that was terrible. Bad staff right there. So let's go on a positive note and talk about our favorite costume of 2015.
I'll take that because I was wearing my favorite costume during your least favorite moment.
That's
a segue to me.
I didn't make a whole lot of new costumes this year, but one I did was Burt Macklin, FBI. From Parks and Recreation, and it didn't take a lot to make, but and I'm going to be corny here for a moment. Part of the reason that costume was so much fun was my girlfriend Kate did Janet Snakehole with me, and it's the first time I've done a couple's costume, so that was so much fun, and we had so many great reactions. You know, I love costumes where people look and they do the double take, realizing what you are. And so I got called a son of a bitch so many times, but it's in character, so I can't be offended. And it was I had so much fun just being a complete goofball in that costume and it was comfortable to wear. And like I said, getting to do a couple's costume, you really can't beat that. So that was definitely my favorite costume there.
I didn't expect that costume, but neither did the president's enemies. Elizabeth, how about you?
My favorite was Miss Frizzle from Magic School Bus, which I made kind of on a whim for Dragon Con. I think I like decided less than 2 weeks before that, I was already making 4 costumes. Let's make another one. it was actually pretty easy to put together, which was nice. But the reactions when people see my costume was actually a lot of fun because so many people have so many awesome memories of Magic School Bus. So I think it's going to be one of my like go-to costumes in the future because I can probably like wear it forever.
Now, Sven, you did a costume.
I did a costume this year. it was of Sabine Wren. She's a character in Star Wars Rebels. Animated series, and that was really fun.
I gotta talk into the mic so you can see that. Yes, I'm holding up the figure of it.
There she is. She's got blue hair. I did the first season version. We did the first season version.
Yeah.
And it was not just only my only costume, it was also my favorite costume because it made me feel like a badass. And I mean, besides having awesome rebel getup, she's also an artist. So I have a lot of fun painting her helmet and trying and the shoulder pads.
Yeah. And you entered the SnafuCon Masquerade, too.
Yes, and they gave me a thing.
Yes! Awesome!
Awesome!
Yeah, I think I've only gotten one trophy for costumes, so yay!
Yay, thank you, SnafuCon!
I only did one costume because I was helping with Sabine a lot. It was Amon from Legend of Korra. And we got Best Journeyman for performance at AOD. I think it was, I don't know, it was some award at AOD. So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. Whether it's Dragon Con and a couple other places. Rob?
Well, I mean, you already said about Yakko, but another one I really liked was one that was a bit more closer to my heart is Steiner from Final Fantasy IX. I wore him at Katsu, and it was just, I've worn him before, but I kind of, like, fixed him up and finally got his sword ready, and it was just very interesting because you don't see it that often, and we saw three other ones. Like, I'm going to be obscure, nope.
Oh, but it was fun to see all that Final Fantasy IX. Like,
there was a lot of Final Fantasy IX of other characters, too, and I found them, like, sporadically throughout the entire convention whenever I wore it. So it was a good time wear.
Mine, from this year, was I made Summoner Beljamine from Final Fantasy X, which I always loved her design, and I kind of, when I first played the game, wanted to make the costume, but at the time it was completely outside of my ability level to make, and so this year I decided I was finally going to do it, and I kind of had this idea in my head about how to make the skirt and everything kind of proportional, and so what I loved about it is, one, I love how it came out amazing, and two, as much work as it was and how obnoxious it was to do a lot of the detailing, every like kind of theory I had about how to make it work worked on the first try, which never happens at all. Like, you always fail, like, at least three times before it works. But, like, everything, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do the skirt this way, and I'm going to do the sleeves this way, and I'm going to do the pattern this way. And it actually did what I thought it was going to do in my head, which never happens. And it was so much fun to wear, although I feel like it was a group effort because, like, Elizabeth and Sketch and, like, everybody bought all of the yellow bias tape within, like, a 25-mile radius of our house. Because I think out of, like, every Joann's, I needed this one color yellow, and I needed so much of it to do all of the detail work that, like, everybody was kind of rifling through, like, the bins where they don't tell you the stuff is for me. So that was kind of awesome, too, that I had all these people kind of rooting for that costume to get done.
My favorite part of that is the feather duster that's her underskirt.
Yeah, yeah. Sketch surged lots of feathers for me. Appreciate it. You're a good man.
He's a keeper.
And did you guys have any favorite guests of 2015?
We didn't really. I mean, I didn't really meet many guests this year. It just wasn't, for whatever reason, it wasn't a year where a lot of the cons I went to had guests where I was really interested in going to their panels. Or there were ones that were there that I'd met before, so I didn't. So I don't really, which is unusual.
Same boat.
Yeah, same with me. I didn't really have any interactions that... I feel like there was one, and I can't think of it, but nothing major.
I've got two that... It's more because of the panel. At Dragon Con, I went to one of the Hannibal panels, or Hannibals, or whatever, with two actors that are kind of side characters in the series, Scott Johnson and Aaron Abrams. And they were hysterical. Like, this was an early morning panel. Like, I think it was, like, Saturday morning. And they were just a hoot and a half. They really appreciate. I think you can tell they love the fan base. They were having a lot of fun. They were making so many jokes. I got video of them impersonating Will and Hannibal, the main characters. At one point, Aaron was so cold because the room was it's a big ballroom and there wasn't a lot of people in it. He went and got a piece of the pipe and drape that was on the floor backstage and used it as a blanket. And then he realized the reason it was on the floor is because it was wet.
Oh.
But they had such the way they played off each other and had fun with the moderator and were poking fun at the technical staff, giving them the 5-minute warning. They were hysterical, and it was so much fun. And once again, they knew the fans of the show. They knew kind of what the fandom is like, and had so much fun enjoying that that these fans are there to see them. And they were absolutely awesome. And I regret not going to another panel with them, even though I know it would have been a lot of the same things, because I was just laughing so hard. Like, I think I said to a couple people, it's 9 a.m. At Saturday at Dragon Con, and I'm already sore just because I'm laughing so much. So they were probably my favorite guests this year.
For my favorite guest, can I pick Svet?
Otherwise,
I would go with Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, who is at SAC Anime, and I'd never seen him at a con before. He's gone to a lot, I just haven't crossed paths, and so it was just great being there and seeing him. And I used to watch him every day after school on Transformers, so it was cool to actually see him.
So jealous you got that interview.
You can come visit. My favorite guest this year was, I really enjoyed meeting Emily Belcher. She was a fellow artist guest at San Japan, and we actually did a panel together, and she was a riot and a half. We had so much fun. And we also sat beside each other in the dealer's room. Dealer's room, is that where we were? So she was, I had a lot of FaceTime with her, and she's just a really awesome person. And an amazing artist, and she's my favorite guest.
How about your favorite panel? Do you have one?
Yes, my favorite panel happened at this year's Dragon Con when two of our friends had their wedding ceremony.
I picked the same one! The Jury Moore finale. See, weddings aren't allowed at Dragon Con.
Yeah.
But if you do a podcast about yourself getting married, the final episode can happen at the convention.
And how?
So their final episode, their finale, was a wedding.
Everybody died at the end.
So yeah, it was a cross of Battlestar Galactica and Game of Thrones wedding, and the Cylons killed everyone.
Yep.
Damn toaster!
I guess I'll go next. My favorite panel, and despite talking about the Hannibal one, my favorite panel was at Otakon this year. Discotech Media, who's just kind of starting out really slow in the anime release game, they did their first panel as an industry one, and they kind of kept it very simple. They don't do a lot, but one of the things they showed was what goes into designing the packaging for DVDs. And they showed it, what they did for a release of Lupin the Third, Castle of the Cagliostro, the Miyazaki movie. And they showed us, like, okay, here's all the different layers. And, like, okay, we tried this thing. And it's like, okay, we've got this pose for the character. Now we're trying this facial expression out of the ones we have available. And talking about all the different little things they do to get what they want for packaging art. And that's something I'd never seen at any industry panel before. Normally, you know, they talk, oh, just here's what we're doing, and that's it. You know, it's not a lot of behind-the-scenes nuts and bolts. So that made it really fascinating to see, and that was, again, it was something nobody's ever done before. So it was really refreshing to see that, especially at an industry panel.
I probably should have put it a little bit under guests, but I was trying to go to one of the Battlestar Galactica panels at Dragon Con because I love Battlestar Galactica, and nothing really is better than when Edward James Olmos is there and he yells out "So say we all," and the whole audience responds "So say we all." I do a video of it that we can play, but that's always, I mean, I think that's the second or third time I've gotten to do that, which is pretty cool. I always love that. Another one was at at PAX East. I somehow managed to get my way to the front of the line for a League of Legends panel about character design, and they talked about how they come up with concepts how they come up with their characters all the way from concept through finishing development. And that was really cool to see some of the behind-the-scenes details about how they developed a few of their characters. So that was pretty cool. And then I got the skins and forgot to redeem them before they expired, because I'm an idiot. but yeah, that was really cool, too.
This is kind of a favorite panel or event, but at DragonCon, we did the parade again. This year is the Legion of Superheroes, but the 60s versions. But long story short, I was green, like skin color. but otherwise, it's, you're in the parade and you see all the other people wearing every single superhero known to man walking next to you. So that was my favorite time.
My favorite panel was, I just realized I wouldn't do it, I really enjoyed it, is this was the first year we kind of really went to Aresia full out, and it's more of a literary convention than some of the other conventions we go to. And so I went to this panel about, like, what to read this year, like, what is good to read, which I'm a big reader, and so I thought that was really cool. So it was basically like a panelist of everyone talking about, like, kind of for different genres, what their favorite books were, what their, like, really, like, favorite reading list was, and I kind of, like, took notes. So that was really interesting, and it's kind of cool to have, I don't think I've ever been to a panel where people just kind of do, like, recommendations for things to check out if you're interested in, and that was really cool.
So every we do our Better Luck Next Year award, which is kind of a fake award that we'll give to a convention or event that messed up but can do better, and we want to see them try better. And so who do you guys give your awards to for this year?
I'm going to give mine to... I don't know why I've decided that Nutcracker is the award. to Aresia's Masquerade staff, not because the Masquerade is bad, because their Masquerade is amazing and the way they run it. It was really interesting participating in a Masquerade for like a sci-fi convention as opposed to an anime convention. However, the wait time for the awards between the end of the show and them actually giving out the awards for the skits and the costumes was almost 2 hours. It was horrible. Like, I wish we had even known it was going to be 2 hours, that we would have gone and eaten something, because we had to be, like, in the green room, something like 5 o'clock, and they gave us food, but it was, like, crackers and stuff, which was amazing, but it's not dinner. And so then the show gets over at 8, and I'm like, it's, like, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we're waiting for them to announce the stuff, and everyone's just kind of in the hall dying. Like, there was a Rapunzel that had this amazing wig, and she was in so much pain, she had to go change, and one of the girls in our group was, like, her eyes were ready to be, like, falling out because her contacts needed to come. It was just ridiculous amount of time, and I don't understand why that can't happen fast, like, 20 times faster. I mean, most places, the limit's, like, 20 minutes. Between the end of the show and the actual award. So something needs to be done there, which is a shame, because otherwise their Masquerade is really, really well run.
It's also a region, but it's kind of like a comment on their programming. I was looking through everything and something sparked my interest. I was like, I want to go to this. And it was Lego building. And just to find out, it's in a private hall just for kids. Grown-ups like Legos too, damn it.
They literally went up to him and were like, sir, why are you here? And he's like, I'm here to play with Legos. They're like, do you have a child?
I have one.
It's not the first time that concern's been brought up with the kid programming.
I guess for my Better Luck Next Year award, which will be represented by Gigan here, because he was in reach, I'm going to give it to one comic book convention I went to called Massive Comic Con, which was in Worcester, Mass. And it wasn't a bad convention, but you could tell it was just a first-year Comic Con. And it just had kind of a small section of a dealer's room and not really any programming, and even the dealers, it seemed like just every other booth was Funko Pop figures, which are nice, but when everybody has them, they're not very interesting. And there wasn't much else going on. And I think because it was at the DCU Center, which in Worcester, which has plenty of space that they could spread out into. So I'd like to see them try and do a little bit more. Like, even fan groups just got, like, a table, not, like, a corner to set up a display or something. And that was about it. So it's definitely, you know, early and not a lot. I know they had a couple big guests, like, string them along. Like, oh, they still definitely want to come. And they finally had, the con finally had to say, you know what, we're good, because they weren't getting, you know, definitive answers. But I think there's potential for a decent con there. It's not a bad location, per se. I mean, the market is a little saturated, but I think they could make it work if they thought about what they want to do with this space and offer a little more things to do than just spend money. Because that's kind of one of my criticisms about a lot of comic book conventions is you're buying a badge to go into the dealer's room, so you're spending money just to spend more money. And there could be a lot more.
No, I know that con is run by the same people who do Granite Con up in New Hampshire, and that's been around for a while, so hopefully it was just them getting their feet wet and seeing what they can and can't do. I just wish they weren't the same weekend as PortCon, but whatever. Because it's right down the street for me, and I couldn't go because I went to PortCon, but whatever. PortCon was probably more fun. My award, I guess I can use my squishable. His name is Jamie Collins after the football player, so is Rhode Island Comic Con, which I actually didn't go to. I was on the fence for a while, and then I'm like, no, I need to save money for Disney to, you know, buy stuff like this. So they had Carrie Fisher canceled at the last minute, and the convention center was not completely double booked, but like the transition between them needing to set up the dealers and the other group that was there leaving, I guess there was an overlap there that someone dropped the ball on. So that's
the floor space. It was double booked, yeah.
Because the I think the thing people don't realize about conventions is, it starts at, well, for example, this one, 3 o'clock on Friday. Doesn't mean the staff or the dealers show up at 3 o'clock on Friday. They're there hours, possibly a day ahead of or two ahead of time. So that I think that stinks because from what I heard, they did improve on a lot of the issues they had the year before. They expanded to the Dunkin' Donuts Center, which seemed to help with the fire code and space issues they had last year. So I hope they continue to keep improving, because that's a really nice area of Providence to have a convention, and hopefully next year I can go back.
Yeah, Rhode Island's one I want to see improve. I only did a couple hours there this year. But I maintain that from the population of the attendees, it's some of the nicest people I've met at conventions, just random people. Everyone seems really friendly. So it's definitely one I want to see get everything right.
Svet, do you want to give out an award?
I would like to give out an award to that staffer that scared me out of the Night Attack panel. I'm not sure if she was having... No, I have. This is my award. I'm not sure if she was having a bad day or what happened, but better luck next year also.
I'm giving my Better Luck Next Year award to the Fanime Con Masquerade. Use this camera to fix it, because your masquerade is broken. It should not take 2 hours plus time for judging. The masquerade was so long they had an intermission. And it's not because they had over 100 entries. It's because there were so many tech fails. If Fanime is one of the for a long time, they can't get their masquerade right. I've been hearing from other people that it's always like that, and I think that's what people have come to expect from them. They need to fix it. And I have the video posted. It's completely unedited. I didn't take out any of the tech fails to edit time down. So when the MC is stalling for time, you can watch him stall for time. He had to stall so much he ran out of jokes. So when Tadao Tanematsu runs out of jokes, you know that's a bad thing. So, Banime, fix your masquerade!
So angry!
Yeah. Wait, so I totally forgot to list the con that I went to. There was a one-day con down in Southborough, Massachusetts called Cape Con. It was Cosplay and Photography Expo. So that was my one new con because it was new this year. And I forgot to mention that. It was really cool, and it was very small, probably only about 200 people, and it was actually pretty awesome. They had one panel room, and then a small dealer's room, and a photography room, and they had awesome panels all day, and lots of awesome places outside and inside to take pictures, so it was cool to see that a different kind of convention like that, even though it was a one-day mini-con. So I hope it comes back next year. It was run by one of the guys who runs Nerd Caliber, and they're a pretty awesome website. And I really hope that that comes back next year. So I forgot to mention that. I don't know how that happened.
Is that your favorite convention of 2015?
What?
Is that your favorite convention?
Oh, no. I just forgot to mention it. My favorite convention is my favorite convention every year, which is PAX East, so I'm just going to finish there.
All right. Doug, favorite convention?
Mine kind of surprised me, but for me, it was the Mass Independent Comics Expo, or MICE. I just kind of went there on a whim on the Saturday, and it was really neat because it's basically a gigantic artist alley for people that are doing indie comics and stuff like that. I mean, they had one or two panels, but it was really fun, really neat to talk with people, and it was a really good example of it doesn't have to be a big con to be good. I mean, they were seeing a lot of growth, but it was, you know, still very simple and stuff like that. And if you're a comic artist who is doing something, you know, independent or something, or you're not a huge name, I'd say definitely look into it to try and, you know, get stuff out there. And that was, it was refreshing because it was different, but with a lot of the same elements that I've come to expect. And I could take the subway there, so that made it easier too.
My favorite con is Katsu, but this is the same reason if I ever say I enjoy Katsu. It's the con goers, not the convention. But I definitely say Katsu is my favorite this year.
Yeah, same here. And it definitely, I'll reiterate, it has nothing to do with the actual convention because KatsuCon is pretty famous for being a lot of fun to go to but not actually a very good convention. And I think part of the reason it was so much fun for us this year is because it's the third time we've gone.
Third or fourth.
And it's the first time we went and we were healthy. And I think that because of we weren't sick for the whole thing, we actually got to fully enjoy the experience for the first time. So we got to kind of do a lot of stuff socially, and a lot of our friends weren't even there this time yet. Everybody's so friendly there. And, you know, we get to hang out with people, and we get to go, you know, clubbing upstairs at the hotel, and we get to, you know, get all this great feedback of our costumes. And we actually met quite a few really nice cosplayers there we kind of became friends online with. And I just feel like people go there really to meet, like, especially, it's really cosplayers go there to meet other cosplayers, and, you know, and it, I think that's what people take from it, is the whole social aspect of it, and we really got to do that this year, and that was a lot of fun.
And also, it's in a unique location compared to other conventions, because it's such a, like, a mini-universe of needs. Like, you can easily walk to multiple restaurants.
Really nice restaurants.
CVS, that's open reasonably on hours.
Bars.
You know, and bars, you know, it facilitates a good experience just being there, let alone that you're at a convention.
Yeah, but I just think, I still think this, I think they're, it's kind of, people there are just exceptionally friendly. The con goers, not necessarily the staff of the convention, are just exceptionally friendly.
Yeah. And Svet, your favorite con?
For me, it's a tie between San Japan. We were both guests there this summer, and they were wonderful.
Yeah.
It's very well organized. They treated us very well. Everyone was really friendly. The fans were amazing. And it was nice and warm, and they took us to eat
It was 100 degrees in San Antonio in July.
Yeah, but then you had air conditioning, so yeah. It was nice of them to provide that. And it ties with KrakenCon, which is a small convention in Oakland. And I just went as an attendee. We were pressed for enemy cons. I had a lot of fun because it was very well organized again. Everything was very, I'm navigationally challenged, so I really appreciated the informational booths that were located conveniently where whenever I got lost, there was somebody I could ask.
Hey.
You had a while where I had to find my own way, but I could ask, and every staff member was clearly labeled with a hat.
Yeah,
and
the sailor
a
hat.
Shirt. Yeah, so I was never at a loss as to whom to ask and where to go. And it was just a really, really friendly atmosphere. Highly recommend it. Everybody should go.
Yeah, I liked San Japan, but I think I'm going to give my favorite convention this year to Otakuthon. Narrowly edges out of San Japan. Otakuthon is in Montreal, and to be honest, as I was headed out the door to go there, I was complaining. I didn't want to go. I was like, why did I agree to go to this convention a week after we get back from San Japan? And I saw the panel schedule, and so I arrived Thursday. It was Thursday, right? Yeah.
Thursday, yeah.
I didn't have a panel until lunchtime Saturday. And then my second panel was an hour after that on Saturday. And then I had nothing else for the rest of the con. Like, I could have just flown in the morning, two panels, and then left. And but I ended up, the staff was so friendly, and I ended up having a good time there, and it's such a very well-done convention. I didn't know really much about it. I just knew I wanted to check it out at some point, and so when they invited me, I accepted. But it's fairly large, but the fans and the staff, they're all so welcoming. And it's also in Montreal, so it's like going to Europe, but you can speak English to anybody if you need to. There's a Tim Hortons in the convention center. That's good.
Well, that
and
means
the panels,
I need to go.
They're done in English. Yeah. They're done in English or French, and you can tell which ones are which. The big events, like opening ceremonies, which is hosted by Rob's doppelganger, bilingual. And so, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and you guys should really head up there at some point and check it out. It's only like a few hours' drive from Boston, so.
Try the Nutella donut. That's important.
The Oreo donut, I like that, or the Reese's peanut butter cup donut, that was good, too.
Everything was good.
So we did some predictions last year. Fortunately, you didn't have one, but I had a prediction last year that as we get closer to December 2015, we'll see a lot more Star Wars cosplayers. And as we get closer to October 21st, 2015, Back to the Future cosplayers. Nailed it! Yeah.
Spending time at the 501st Legion, Rebel Legion booth at Rhode Island Comic Con, yes, there is definitely a lot more this year.
Yeah, and you know, that was, I mean, there's a Star Wars movie that has just come out as we published this episode, and that's a pretty safe bet that there's going to be more Star Wars cosplay. But Back to the Future cosplay? When October 21st, around there, you saw New York Comic Con had tons of them. They were giving out Pepsi Perfect to cosplayers. People are getting hoverboards, and USA Today is publishing that edition of the newspaper. It was just... Yeah, the new Screensavers had an episode in cosplay of Back to the Future. It just kind of became this phenomenon that you don't really see for the 30th anniversary of a movie. And so, yeah, I called that one. But my prediction for next year is that we'll see another con attempt to do a second con in a new city. Like we've got Otakon in Otakon Vegas, or Anime Matsuri in Anime Matsuri Hawaii. I think there's going to be another one, and I'll go up further and say it's not going to do well. Because that's the trend with these. They're always lower than what these people seem to expect. Sven, did you have a prediction for 2016?
I do, and it's very epic, so let's save that for last.
Oh, okay. who wants to go next?
I guess I'll go. My 2015 prediction was after the monstrosity that was DashCon, and another con was going to pop up and try and say, we can do it right, and I can't remember when the timing of the news was, but they announced Emoticon, and it was very thinly veiled that there was the same people behind DashCon, and that kind of imploded on itself pretty quickly. So I was half right that it was another attempt at it, but it was by the same people, so kind of right, kind of not.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anybody else try to do a Tumblr con, or maybe we just haven't heard about it, because
yeah.
Maybe.
And as for what I'm predicting for 2016, I'm going to say, at least for the first half of the year, One Punch Man is going to be the big costume that you're going to see a lot of, because everyone seems to love that show right now.
Oh, okay, I was just informed what that is. I hadn't heard of it.
It's pretty awesome. I've only seen a couple episodes, but I just by seeing how many people are enjoying it, and his costume's pretty simple, I have a feeling you're going to be seeing a lot of it, at least for the first half of the year.
That and Linkle.
Mm. Now, Elizabeth, you had a prediction?
My prediction was more attendance problems at comic book style shows, which didn't really happen. It seemed to level off. Of course, when some of them increased their badge costs by 50%, that would help with that, Boston Comic Con. But didn't hear any major issues about attendance issues at the comic book shows that seem to be taking over. All right, my prediction, which I didn't post to the group because I forgot, but all right, here we go. My prediction is I am going to get my husband to go to a convention for at least one day.
Yeah! It is going to happen.
Why are you making this prediction? No,
he doesn't know this yet. He doesn't know this yet, and he's sleeping. He doesn't know this yet. But it's happening. I don't think I can get him to dress up, but he's going. At least one day.
One step at a time.
Baby
steps. Yeah. That's my prediction. Probably won't come true.
My prediction was that Elizabeth and I would finally cosplay superheroes from the 1960s, which we totally did, and it was awesome. I kind of made the prediction to force us to do it, so it really worked out well. we did Legion of Superheroes from the Silver Age of DC, and we marched in the Dragon Con Parade, and it was a lot of fun. And I actually did two. I did Triplet Girl with the group, and then I did Emerald Empress by myself, which was, I didn't expect anybody to recognize because it's so old and it's kind of obscure, and I got so many people that, like, knew who I was and, like, knew what this giant eyeball was called, and it was just so much fun to do. I don't know, I didn't expect it to go that well, so that was a lot of fun. My prediction for next year is it's probably going to be my last year cosplaying in con going for a while, and I don't know if that's going to be true yet, so it is a prediction, so we'll see what happens. I didn't say it was a happy prediction. I mean, it could be. Anyway.
I predicted that I would inadvertently challenge Movie Phone Guy to pull some sort of video prank that actually would get him arrested for a night. I don't think that happened. Unless, you know, there's still a few more days. There's still a few more
in
days.
In the year, in the year. Rue, get on this.
I think the only prediction I'm going to have is I think Rift Tracks is not going to do as good as it hopes.
Rift Tracks, or you mean the reboot for MST3K they're trying to do?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's the MST3K. I said that wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to do well. That's my thing.
Yes, it is time for my epic prediction. So,
she's got her scheming face on. I'm worried.
I predict that the number of conventions next year will grow muchly in number and reach critical mass and form a singularity, which will wipe out all life on the face of the earth and will basically be The Walking Dead, except cosplayers. The end.
I don't know if I want that to come true or not.
Yeah, I don't know if I want yours to. I don't know if I want you to be right about that. That's kind of.
We won't have to worry about climate change anymore.
Or Donald Trump.
Or Donald Trump.
I think we can deal with like rising ocean levels better than like the Walking Dead of cosplay.
All right, so I guess this does it for season 7.
What?
Yeah, we've made it.
We should have brought a cake.
Oh yeah. Well, then we'd have the cake.
Imaginary
we,
cake.
We'll have cake. We'll you guys will have to come here if you want the cake. But, we're going to take next week off, and then I'll do the 10 largest conventions of 2015, and a shakeup in there that people probably heard about, but, some changing around that list. But thank you, everyone, for watching this 7th season of AnimeCons TV, and don't forget to subscribe and send us feedback at podcast@enemycons.tv or call our voicemail line at 762-ADEQUATE, 762-233-7828. Let's hear about how your year was. But, thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
Bye.
The end.
'Cons TV, it's been a while, and Daddy missed you. I've got great news! I'm in a new anime. It's called Prison School.
Not a school.
Well, movie phone here, with my one phone call. Sketch, your idea about the sexy ninjutsu cosplay at the local IKEA was not the greatest plan. Turns out a jury of my peers decided it was a felony. Yeah. It's not all bad, though. Turns out there's a baseball team here. Yeah, the warden says I am awesome. I can learn to catch and pitch. At least someone in here is being nice to me.
Move it along, 3141592653589793. Lights out!
Anyhow, my prediction for 2016. I think that Awkward is going to be the best-selling manga of 2016. Available on Amazon.com now. Table, take care of our chairs. I'm coming.